Now today, as we come to the fifth chapter of the book of Ezra, we now have come to this section that we have labeled renewal of rebuilding of the temple. We saw last time that the rebuilding of the temple was stopped by the opposition of the enemy. They got a letter off to the king, and they gave a false impression of Jerusalem. They called it that rebellious and bad city. Well, God didn't call it that at all, though they had rebelled against him. It was a city that is the city of the great king, more said about it than any other city in the Word of God. And the enemy now, though, has been able to successfully stop the work for a while. It is suspended because of the decree. Now, these people knew that the investigation that was made was not thorough. The king Artaxerxes did go back and find out that there had been a rebellion on the part of these people, and at the very end of the southern kingdom of Judah, well, it looked pretty bad. Three times they rebelled right toward the end. And finally, Nebuchadnezzar came, destroyed the city. But now they did not investigate thoroughly, because though they found that to be true, they did not look for the decree that had been made to rebuild the city. Now, we find during this period, it was a period of great discouragement. And so these people would be naturally inclined to not only leave off building, but we'll also find from Nehemiah, they were so discouraged, they felt like leaving, just walking away from it all. That would be the best way to solve their problem. There's so many people feel like, if I can just get away from where I am, I'll solve my problems. Well, that's not always true. I'll grant it could be true under certain circumstances, but you can't run away from your problems. So at this time, and we're thankful the people didn't run away, we find out God raised up the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. We've talked about them before, and very candidly, we ought to study those two books in connection with Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther. And in fact, Daniel belongs in the same package. All of these would be very profitable to study them together. And someday I may come to that. When I was head of the English Bible Department here at the Institute in Los Angeles, it was my thought, if I had continued in that capacity, why, I would probably have brought them together. It should be done. And here I am going through the Bible and saying again what should be done, but I haven't done it even yet. Probably never will, but I make this suggestion. I understand that there's quite a few ministers that listen to us and use our material in many ways in teaching, and we're delighted for that. We feel honored that they do that. But I hope some of them who have the time and the ability that they'll join these books together. Now we're told in verse 1, then the prophets Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Now, these men were raised up of God to encourage the people to continue the building, because they knew that there was a decree from Cyrus that they could continue that building. And so the Lord raised up these two prophets. Haggai calls them the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message that he'd raised up. Well, these two men, as we've said before, were very much unlike. The only thing they had in common was they both were prophets of God. This man, Haggai, he's a man had his feet on the ground. He was very solid, very stable individual, one that you could rest upon. He wanted the facts. And he carried a measuring rod along with him, and he measured everything. Everything had to be all wood, a yard wide, and warranted not to rip, tear, unravel, or run down at the heel. And it had to be 36 inches to the yard. That was Haggai. He got right down to the nitty-gritty. And this man spoke, we would say today, to the conscience of the nation. And his messages were messages that went down deep and they hurt. That type of a man's not popular today, by the way. You speak the word of God today, you're in trouble. Now, this man here spoke the word of God, and he was speaking to the conscience of the nation. Now, Zechariah was a different type individual. He didn't have his feet on the ground. He had his head in the clouds. And as we said before, his tremendous visions. Just imagine a woman floating through the air in a bushel basket. My friend, that's way out yonder, any way you look at it. But it had a tremendous message. And this man, Zechariah, will appeal to the emotions of the people, to their hearts. And here we have these two men that God raised up. God has given to all of us a conscience and a heart. And these men now are speaking to the conscience and heart of the nation. And these men were the ones that God used. Apparently, Haggai was considered the chief, the leader of them. Now, what did they encourage them? Well, we can't turn now to the two prophecies, but they attempted to encourage the people to continue in the building. Now, will you notice? Then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which is at Jerusalem, and with them were the prophets of God helping them. Now, what actually happened was, these enemies heard about it. At the same time, came to them Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shether, Bozni, and their companions, and said thus unto them, who hath commanded you to build this house and to make up this wall? In other words, what's the big idea? Well, may I say to you that these men are not going really to answer them in a way that seems to be satisfactory. In fact, it wasn't. To begin with, these two men were enemies. I've never heard of these two before, by the way. I mean by that, this is the only place I can find where they are mentioned in the Word of God. And they are asking a question, and they are men of the world. And these people are not about to cast their pearls before swine. And after all, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and with no one else. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And Zerubbabel and his helpers, they didn't refer to the prophets and say, well, the prophets told us to go ahead, but they just answered a fool according to his folly. And they gave another question, says, what are the names of the men that make this building? They said, by the way, we didn't see your name on the list that was given to us. Maybe you got another list. And if you are part and parcel in this, we'll be glad to answer you. But in view of the fact your name's not on the list, we'll not answer you. In other words, that is what I would call a very nice way of saying it's none of your business. You have no right to ask that question. Now, that puts these men in a rather difficult position who are rebuilding the temple. And what happens? Well, they go on, but the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews. And the wonderful thing is that you can depend on God to keep His eye on those that are His own, that they could not cause them to cease till the matter came to Darius, and then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. Now, so off goes another letter to the king. This time Darius is the king. Apparently, about 7 years had gone by. The copy of the letter that Tatnai, governor on this side of the river, and Shether, Bozni, and his companions, which were on this side of the river, sent unto Darius the king. They sent a letter unto him, wherein was written thus. Now listen to this letter. This is another one. The enemy gets off, post haste, sends it, I think, special delivery. Unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones and timbers laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on and prosperous in their hands. And the thought in the letters you can see is this, well, we didn't go up there specifically to spy this out. We are really not their enemies. We just happened to be in the neighborhood, and we wanted to drop by for a little visit, and this is what we found. That's the impression they give. And then they go on, verse 9, then asked we those elders and said unto them thus, who commanded you to build this house to make up these walls? Now that wasn't quite the question that they brought. You see, they shape it their own way now. And thus they returned us answer, saying, we are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and build a house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel builded and set up. But after that our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried the people away unto Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God, and so on, and even sent the vessels back. Now, will you notice? Verse 17, now therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus, the king, to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning the matter. Now these enemies did not believe that there was a decree ever made by Cyrus. And they therefore said in this letter, that's what these people are saying, and that's the basis on which they're rebuilding, is the fact that they say there was a decree. And they felt certain that when the records in Babylon were examined, it would be found out that no decree had ever been made, and that these people were doing this on their own.